Live tonight around the world on WWRB, and we're glad to have you in here. We got a great program, part five of the Acts of the Serpent. You know, he's a tricky one. He's a very sly, crafty, and he's very cunning. You know, we just heard a dissertation right before I came on of a preacher that really don't understand the mechanics of the true Sabbath. One of these days we'd like to deal with that, but right now we're going into another area of false prophets. We're going to teach again tonight on the Magnificent One, the Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher in the Bible. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know tonight, without a doubt, that Paul was the premier preacher called to do a job, to address the question and the logistics of going to the lost sheep. He did his job well. I'll be right back when Brother Ben brings us in. Bring it on, Ben. Tonight, we're going into the book of Acts. We're going to go to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, and we're going to present a message here tonight on the truthfulness of the Apostle Paul with all of those involved joining and giving Paul and Silas and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, approving their doctrine and verifying it through letters. Well, ladies and gentlemen, most people would think in terms of the book of Acts, particularly this chapter, they don't want it in there. And so they either have to cut it out and deny it, leave it in there and deal with it. Well, tonight, we're not going to cut it out. We're going to cut out all of the foolishness that is being displayed about the Apostle Paul. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren and said, except that you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, you know those that desire to be under the law, they still would have to bring circumcision of the flesh. Now, the question dividing the joint and the sunder and separating fact from fiction or old covenant from new, we're going to bring you a new covenant that preaches that circumcision of the flesh availeth nothing. Now, why would circumcision of the flesh availeth nothing when Yahweh instituted it under the Old Covenant and told Abraham that he had to circumcise his sons? Under the Old Covenant, this was a theocratical government that Yahweh was fixing to establish with the people of Israel. Yahweh wanted a genetic offspring male to be circumcised as a sign of the covenant of racial purity. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, they wouldn't even let an uncircumcised person in to the temple. And you say, well, how would they know? They had a circumcision inspection. You had to go through the inspector line if you were a stranger and you desired to worship. They would have to check you out and, first of all, check and see if you had a permit. It had to be authorized by the rabbis and the Pharisees particularly, and I'll show you why, because they were big on circumcision. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, arguing with the brethren that taught about circumcision and its need, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now we're fixing to have a meeting of the minds. We're talking about the great apostolic brethren who could raise the dead, just a shadow. Now, these were mighty men. This isn't just not a question to bring forth to an idle bunch of people that just wants to run their mouth. These are people who had power and demonstrated it throughout all of the region thereabout. And being brought on their way by the church, in other words, the church, the brethren that Paul departed from, they paid by the tithing and offering their journeys. It costs to travel like it does today. And they passed through Phineas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the apostolic church at Jerusalem and of the apostles and elders. Now, I want you to remember this. They were received, verse 4, of the apostles and the elders, and they declared, this is Paul, the chief spokesman here, and Barnabas, they declared all the things that Yahweh had done with them. And there arose up certain of the sect. They were always there, ladies and gentlemen. There's one in every crowd, a Pharisee. Somebody that puts his trust in his own righteousness and despises the righteousness of others. That's what the Messiah said, that you could judge a Pharisee because they trusted in their own righteousness. Now, there's people that really believe that they can be saved by the law. Well, we're going to determine this question right here, and no wonder they want this chapter out. The Paul haters, the Paul bashers, we call them, they really don't like this particular book here in Acts, which believed there arose certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Now, they believed that you had to be circumcised and saved and to keep the law of Moses. That's what they believed. They arose up among these great men, Peter, James, and John, and the disciples and the apostles. It was a great meeting. Now, we're fixing to get it real hot and going heavy here because there was a great, great roar or an argument, if you will, or a debate. And, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to pull down to the OK Corral and see which side you're on tonight on this subject. That it was needful to circumcise them. needful. They didn't say it was the law. They said it was needful. And to command them, here it is, verse 5. They commanded them to be circumcised, and they said we should teach them to keep the law of Moses. Now, that was the order of the debate. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when they had been much disputing, the man that had the keys rose up. Now, he didn't get up. He listened. A wise man will hear a matter out. He'll be patient. He will watch. He will see what the flow of the Spirit, where it's going, what it's doing. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago Yahweh made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth, now listen to this, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And Yahweh, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he gave unto us. He put no difference between us and them. Now, listen, here's the question, and here's Peter making this remark. Remember, Peter and James and John and all the brethren up at the apostolic church were circumcised, and they had kept the law of Moses. Here, the ones called Gentiles, in other words, the lost sheep scattered abroad, they begin to go out and to convert them. Paul and Barnabas gave them a report how that they had been received, that the Gentiles or the lost sheep were receiving the word and receiving the Holy Ghost. And Yahweh put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you, God, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither are... Listen to this now. This is a yoke, circumcision and keeping the law. That is the yoke of unbelief. To make you believe, this is a righteousness of self, to say, oh, I do this and I do this, or I keep this and then I keep that one. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get to trust in your own righteousness and despise the righteousness of the man from Galilee who rose from the dead, proving that your righteousness wasn't good enough because the heavens were searched and they didn't find you. If you're righteous today through the works of the law, you fell from grace. This is what Peter said. Now, therefore, why tempt you, God, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers... This is the fathers that Peter's talking about, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and on down the line. Nor we were able to bear. I'm going to repeat that. Our fathers, nor we were able to bear. Bear what? To keep the law of Moses. This was the very thing that he was referring to, because all of them were circumcised. It was a surety that Peter and James and John were circumcising. If you go to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16, you'll find that that as his custom was, he stood up and read out of the book of Isaiah, which had prophesied there was going to come someone to loose those that sit in darkness and bondage. The law represents the darkness and the bondage, as well as the circumcision of the flesh, which by being circumcised boasts in the law. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the law that declares your unrighteousness against you. That's what the law's for. Not to prove that you are righteous, but to prove that you are unrighteous and you need a redeeming blood sacrifice. And 11, that through the grace of our Messiah, we shall be saved. Saved. Here's Peter preaching grace. He ain't preaching the law. Well, you say, well, Paul preached grace and he ought to preach the law. Well, here's Peter, a friend, giving the right hand of fellowship when he walked into the assembly. And here's the man that they trust in, Peter, who is acknowledging that Paul was correct and that they had been preaching wrong and they had permitted it and should have put a stop to it. This is what basically Peter is saying. Then when all the multitude kept silence, well, when a man like Peter speaks, seven voices almost sound their thunder of his words. It was powerful. This is the man that pronounced death at the same assembly upon two of their members. And so he wasn't afraid. If somebody was wrong here, Peter would not have been afraid to stand up and to let them have it. Praise Yahweh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to assure you tonight that Paul, the disciple, is just like any other man. He himself was a disciple chosen in season and out to preach the gospel to the lost sheep. And here's Peter, who was to preach to the sheep there at Jerusalem and throughout all the area, Samaria, and throughout Judea. And here's Paul, sent away from them to preach to the sheep scattered abroad. He was the man that took this gospel of revelation and grace. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders that Yahweh had wrought among the lost sheep by them abroad. And after that they held for peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how that Yahweh at the first did visit the lost sheep of Israel to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. The ruins was the lost sheep. That was the loss. They're now bringing back into the fold and grafting these in back into the original tree which was placed there among them, that the residue of men might seek after Yahweh, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith Yahweh, who doeth these things. Known unto Yahweh are his works from the beginning of the world. I mean, this is planned from the very beginning. Moses was just a temporary crutch. The law was given because of transgression. He that broke the law of Moses died without mercy. Peter says, Why? Why did we tempt Yahweh? When you teach the law and the statutes that go with it, the misunderstandings of the law, you're teaching a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Now I want to question you here. Does it, since we do away with law, do we do away with the Ten Commandments? Well, of course not. The commandments are in the heart. The conscience would tell you that you are not supposed to lie, to cheat, or to steal, or bear false witness, or to love other gods, or to worship idols, or to break the Sabbath. That's in your heart. That's not in there by circumcision of the flesh. It's in there by the works of the Father, who himself, the master surgeon, has given you a new heart and taken out the stony heart, where that these things by conscious, I'm going to ask you, if you owed $1 million and your debtor, in this case Yahweh, if he reduced the price down and forgive you of the debt, and then the next fellow comes along and he exacts he owes the same bill, and Yahweh makes a difference and makes him pay or repay the $1 million. Now my question to you, which one of those two, one having the works of the law, or the other being grace and freely forgiven, which one would love him the most? Would you have an opinion there? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know that nature itself would teach you that the one that was forgiven the most would love the most. And so then this is Yahweh's law in our hearts. We're not preaching to do away with the law. We're just telling you to take the law and move it out of the flesh, out of the self-righteous acts of the person that's getting the glory, to be seen of man, to be heard of man, or to give himself some honor, and to humble down with humility and receive the engrafted word with the sincere desire of the fellowship of the grace spirit sent from heaven. Why, then, should we put a yoke upon our brothers? Know that unto Yahweh are his works from the beginning of the world. This is Yahweh's ideal from the very start. The law was just added because of transgressions, to keep in control until the day of the new covenant. And people cannot transition from the old. They can separate what the law meant. They say they are keepers of the law. And ladies and gentlemen, I can go back and curl your toenails with some of the things that the law exacted and demanded. You are a pretty pitiful sight when you say you're keeping the law and don't even know what the law says. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't keep something that you don't know about. And most of the laws that's written, these added statutes and these ordinances that were added along as they went, made up as along as they went, most of it away from the will of Yahweh. It wasn't Yahweh's will that they wandered through the desert for 40 years. It took faith. Because those who seen the giants staggered through sight. And it's not by sight. It's by faith. By faith they took the high country. By faith they entered the promised land. And it took 40 years to give away of their righteousness, of saying that they had kept the law. And ladies and gentlemen, you know better, because Yahweh said, I give you the law, and none of them keep it. Verse 19, as we heard along, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which among the Gentiles are turned to Yahweh, but that you write unto them. Here's the key now. That you abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Now, things strangled is those meats that are packed for you very delicately today in the packing houses, where they rip the guts of the animals. And the feces and everything, they frighten the animal as they kill them and strangle them in their blood, that it might excite the animal where their tissues, the muscles of their bodies, would be filled with the blood of the animal and trapped through death. Kosher killing means a word from the Hebrew meaning to exact the death of the animal by freely draining the blood from the animal. And from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from pollutions, and from idols. Now that's what Yahweh had agreed, and the apostolic fathers agreed and said, that's good. We should quit preaching that they have to keep the law of Moses to be saved. We should quit preaching that they have to be circumcised to be saved, and we should start preaching this and write it upon their heart, because Yahweh has given them the Holy Spirit, and now they are refraining from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, and from pollutions, and idols, and from worshiping false gods. For Moses, listen to this, this is the rest of this. For Moses, this is the Apostolic Fathers. These are the letters that's going to be written on behalf of Paul, the false apostle, according to some. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in synagogues every Sabbath day. Now they read it. I've had people to say at the feast, well, we need to read the law. Well, there's no use you reading the law if you ain't going to do it. Why be readers and not doers? Why hear it and not walk it or obey it? That's the same. Being read. Then it pleased the apostles. Listen to this now. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church. Now remember when we started out up here, these people are preaching that you couldn't be saved unless you keep the law and circumcise in the fifth verse of the 15th chapter. It's these Pharisees that rose up, but evidently they were persuaded by the gospel of Paul when he preached to them, and it pleased the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and the elders, with the whole church, to send men of their own company chosen to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barabbas, or Barnabas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicily. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain men went out from us. Now these brethren that were troubling Paul and Barnabas and the other brethren in the isles or the assemblies outside Jerusalem, these brothers that came down came from the church of Jerusalem. And we have heard that they have troubled you with words. Listen to what it says. Subverting your souls. Did you notice a lot of people like to subvert you and lay heavy burdens upon you? And put all these things that are exactly in order for them to gain preeminence over you, saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. But it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, beloved. Oh, that ain't what the Christians today, some of the Christian identity. Man, they go out and they bash Paul from one end to the other. What if you'd have been up at the assembly with men that could raise the dead? You can't even heal a toothache. You claim that you've got power to say that Paul was a received here. No wonder you want this book out of the way. Just go ahead and cut it out. Let your unbelief cut out the written word in the Acts of the Apostles to join the Acts of the Serpent. It seemed good to us with one accord. That means one accord too, brother. If they'd have been the dissenter in that house, he would have had to left or they'd have failed dead. With one accord to send chosen men. These men, Paul and Barnabas, have hazarded their lives for the name of Yahweh. Now I want to ask you a question. Have you hazarded your life? Or have you sat behind some computer and blasted Paul and claimed he's a false prophet? You need to get out into the trenches like these men that hazard their lives for we have sent them, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than those things necessary, which we have written unto you, that you abstain from meats offered to idols. You're eating dinner, and they offer up to their idol. You just politely push back your plate and get up and walk out. And from blood, if they don't know how to kosher meat, teach them. And if they set meat before you, don't eat, if it offends your brother. And from things strangled, that means animals not properly killed. And from fornication, what's that mean? That means do not eat or drink or fellowship. Anybody that has mixed their blood, this is race mixing, marrying strange blood, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. And when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Well, I can hear them preaching. You're saved by faith. You don't have to be circumcised, and you don't have to keep the law of Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, what a message to bring the power of faith written in the heart. That don't mean that you've got a license to run out and sin, because when you sin, you come under the law. And when you're righteous, you don't have a law. It doesn't affect you. You don't need it. Praise Yahweh. That's what I'm talking about. And after that they had tarried there a space, they let them go in peace, and the brethren unto the apostles, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question, real simple. Why do we have a discussion today going on about Paul? Is it not those who think that they have an inside vision about the things that are told in these circles, where they write Paul off as a false preacher? In other words, a preacher that started a false church. What false church did he start? He didn't start the Catholic Church. He didn't start the Baptist Church. He didn't start the Methodist Church. He didn't start the Lutheran Church. And he certainly didn't preach 614 commandments to them to keep, which was a burden and a yoke upon the necks of the fathers. As Peter had mentioned, and he said, we believe, Peter, the man that could raise the dead, cast out devils, and heal the sick, we believe that, like them, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of Yahweh. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this, that the times that Paul wrote here in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15, Peter wrote this about Paul. An account, brethren, when you're dealing with Paul, that the long-suffering of our Yahweh is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now here is a man, Paul, who rebuffed Peter for his unbelief. We're going to read it to you just in a minute. Here's Peter giving him the right hand of fellowship in the 15th chapter of Jerusalem. And here in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15, he's telling you that Paul has written unto you. Well, we don't believe that Paul wrote. We just throw it out. Well, if you do, you're going to have to go over Peter. Listen to this one. Verse 16. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which there are things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Here's Peter. Here's the man that had the keys to the kingdom. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to just tie up the Bible, go ahead and tear this out. Go ahead and do away with a man that could raise the dead, had the keys to the kingdom, heal the sick, and give Paul the right hand of fellowship and call him a beloved brother. When you call him a false prophet, you're making Peter, who gave Paul these accolades here in 2 Peter 3:16 and 3:17. Therefore, seeing these things, you know before, beware, lest you be led away with the error of the wicked in accusing Paul of being a false prophet, far from your own steadfastness. So then, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people, you don't believe that because 2 Peter and 1 Peter are forgeries. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if all of the Bible is forgeries, most of it, and you have to pick and choose, what verse of Scripture are you going to declare to be a forgery without any evidence? Because the Bible said they that wrote these things were holy men of Yahweh, spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Knowing that he that do such things, of speaking evil of Paul, is subverted and sins and condemns himself. So therefore, lay aside and apart all filthiness and all superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word. These things are written. The Messiah quoted from them. Why don't we just rip his sayings out? If Paul's a false prophet, who's to say that the Messiah's not a false prophet? I'll tell you how we know he's a true prophet, because what he said come to pass, and that's how you judge a prophet. Thou that believest that there is one God, thou believest well, but devils believe and tremble. And so that's the way that we know that in many things we offend. And if any man offend not in word or in deed, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle his whole body, particularly the uncontrollable, unbridleable mouth. The Holy Ghost is the only thing it can do. And if you ain't got it, and you're trusting in your own righteousness, and you want to go back under the law of Moses, and you had to live under it, and there was such a thing as the law in force, and if you broke the first, the least, you would have been killed right then and died without mercy. That's what the Bible said. Who's a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show forth out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Christ said, beware of the Pharisees, for they love long robes, and they love to be in the marketplace, and they like to walk around in their own righteousness and despise the righteousness of others. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it is for sure that the devil's a liar and the father of it, and when he tells something, there's always people that will take it and run with it. In this case, they run to and fro. And the biggest problem that I have with these heathen that do these things is this right here. One of the most powerful elements of our message in the Christian assembly. If Christ preached, or Christ is preached, that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith is in vain. Yes? And we are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If it is so that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only that we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. Now the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as in the Father who has life in himself, so has he given life to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment. Also, because he is the Son of Man, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in that which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Paul declared before Felix the doctrine of the resurrection of dead, both of the just and the unjust, but his argument with the Corinthians specifically referred to believers who were raised from the dead and stand with Christ in the day of his appearing, quickened with the life and quickened with him, and raised up to glory which the Father had given him. Paul has talked about the resurrection, like I said last night, more than any man in the history of religion. Now, Paul's message about the resurrection is in vain. We've got these Christian identities that are now saying that Christ escaped the torture stake. He didn't die. He faked his death. Somebody stood in for him. They will acknowledge that there was a resurrection, but Christ wasn't in it. Now, can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen, that the world, the Christian church, these are the people that promote the law of Moses when Christ said that I gave you the law and none of you could keep it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this. If the resurrection of the dead is impossible, Christ could not have risen from the dead. Well, they say, well, that's simple. He didn't. Because nobody could raise from the dead. But here's what he did do. He married Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils, and he took her to India, and he had children with her, and he lived to be over 100 years. That's the message that some Christian identity people, like I said last night, I could name these people. And if they're going to keep on, we'll start naming them for what they believe and what they teach and what they read and what they've been persuaded of by some dead false prophet that's long off the scene that said he himself was the Messiah reincarnated. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the same people that is advocating this false doctrine that Paul is a false prophet. Ladies and gentlemen, for this subject of no resurrection, when the Father himself talked about him being the resurrection, and the Bible said that he died at a torture stake, he didn't have a stand-in like they believe. If you believe this, if people have got so far away from the Holy Ghost written in their heart, to be persuaded to go back under the law, which the law could save no man, no doubt that Paul had preached and exemplified the very truth of the Scriptures that is written in the book of Galatians when he said that if you believe, or want to believe, if you believe the things that you are being told about Christ not dying, or that the resurrection is past and you've overthrown the faith of some, ladies and gentlemen, it's a foregone conclusion that if you believe these things, you've been taken by the crafty acts of the serpent, who will bite and devour you, who will bring you to your knees with unbelief. Let me give you a little dissertation here in Galatians chapter 2. verse 1, Paul is recounting when he went up to Jerusalem, and here's what he's going to tell you here. He's rehashing what went on up there at that meeting. 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation. Oh, yeah, that's the problem. See, he had his own revelation. I communicated with them, and remember they gave him the right hand of fellowship and called him a beloved brother. I communicated unto him the gospel which I preach among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but privately to them which were of reputation, Peter, James, and John, lest by means I should run or have run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, if Paul was preaching circumcision, then Titus, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because a false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in the Messiah, that they should bring us into bondage. Now listen, what, see, they were trying to persuade Titus there to be circumcised. And they tried to compel him. Now, Paul said, after that they tried to circumcise Titus, I started and I spoke to them and gave place by subjection, no, not to them for 1 hour in this false message, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, are you circumcised in the heart or in the flesh? Well, if you're circumcised in the flesh and make your boast of Moses, did Moses get the end of the promised land? I don't think so. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to get to the promised land, you've got to go through death, through the Messiah's death, not your own. You're not your own keeper. You've got to go by the way of someone worthy. But of these who seem to be somewhat, these are Peter, James, and John, the mighty ones, who whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter for me, for Yahweh accept no man's person, for they also who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Man, what a powerful prophet. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Well, did you know that Peter agreed with Paul? Peter agreed that they couldn't keep it. The fathers couldn't keep it. When he was talking about the law of Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, if we would have kept the law, and the law had any benefit to save us, like I say, it was only added to keep you in check. It was added because of the transgressions. Transgression is the breaking of the law. For he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, that's the lost sheep, and unto the circumcision, that's the Jews that were scattered abroad, only that we should remember the poor, the same which I was forward to do. And when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Here's a man that could raise dead and cast out devils. Here's a man that had power. And here's a man that stood him face to face, for he blamed him. For before the certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, the Jews, or James and the brethren, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So Peter had a fear in his own church of them that preached the circumcision, and he knew in his heart it wasn't right, because when he stood up in the 15th chapter, he confirmed what Paul was religion as the gospel. When you submit to the Apostle Paul's teaching correctly, and you're spiritual and you understand, you'll know exactly that you passed from death unto life. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to close here tonight. My time is coming on so fast. I just wish I had more time on this subject, but I've enjoyed being with you tonight. May the grace of Yahweh, may it rest upon you, and may you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you've passed from life and to death, from death to life, and that you were once dead in your sins, but now you are resurrected, and now you are made whole by the full conviction that you have passed from death unto life because you love your brethren. Paul and Peter were brethren. They loved each other. They adored each other. They gave the right hand of fellowship. And that's after that Paul rebuked Peter for his unbelief, because if you will read in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, after Peter was called to go and preach to the Gentiles, the lost sheep of Israel, the Italian band, Cornelius and his household, he withdrew himself after that the church at Jerusalem heard Peter, James, and John, and all the brethren, the circumcision, for they were still preaching circumcision of the flesh. He withdrew himself and hid because he didn't want to face these brethren. Here's a man that could raise the dead. Here's a man that could heal the sick, and yet he was afraid for doctrinal sake that he was going against his brethren in Jerusalem. And Paul said, when I met him, I confronted him face to face, and I withstood him because he had stood up not for the truth of the gospel. This is the great character of Paul. Not a man walking in shoe leather was any greater than the Apostle Paul. May the grace of the living great one be with you tonight. I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439 for Miracle 2 and for Vitamil. And we need you to call our sponsors. It helps us a whole lot. Brother Paul in Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. And if you would give our sponsors a call and tell them you heard Pastor Buddy on WWRB 3.185, I'd much appreciate it. That Yahweh would bless you. We have to preach, and we have to pay our bills, and we pray that Yahweh would bless and see that you would be blessed if you would support our message here tonight. And if this is not the truth, don't you support it. But if this is the truth, and that Yahweh has given it to you, then you bless us. Stand with us, and we'll stand for Yahweh. Stand against us, and we believe they might be troubled down the road for you, and we say that through faith of the gospel. He that opposes it will be crushed. It'll be the stone from Zion that comes out of the mountain that's cut out with the true hand of Yahweh. This stone will grind you to powder. You can write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me, area code 423-626-2172. I'll see you Friday night, ladies and gentlemen, around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the Sound, WWRV 3.185, Clear Channel around the world. I'll see you then, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Until then, blessings be, and I love you. I wonder when the sheep are